Hi, I'm Matthew Kind. Every Monday, look for a fresh new episode where I'll take you behind the scenes and interview the insiders that are shaping the rapidly evolving cannabis industry. Learn more at cannainsider.com. That's C-A-N-N-A insider.com. Now here's your program.
Today's guest is the leading innovator in the fascinating new field of terpene sensorial experience. I'm pleased to welcome Kevin Kobe of Abstracts Tech to the show. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
I'm such a big fan of Abstracts, really looking forward to getting into the nitty-gritty here in a second. But Kevin, real quick, can you give us a sense of geography? Where are you joining us from today?
Yeah, I'm actually at our Type 7 lab in Long Beach, California.
Awesome. Okay. Definitely want to talk to you about the lab because I know it's quite an involved operation there. So really looking forward to hearing about that. First off, Kevin, before we jump into Abstracts, can you tell me a little bit about your background and what you were doing before Abstracts?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm formally trained as a chemist, and I got to do synthetic chemistry in two different research labs at my college at UCSB, and learned a bit about synthesis, which has like a bunch of different components of chemistry in there. And then after that, I went to work at Grows. I worked at an analytical lab for some time, and then I went straight into manufacturing for a while. And then I built and managed pretty much all the lab and manufacturing for a pretty large brand at the time in the medical market. Once the law came through, we started Abstracts. So once it became recreational illegals, and we started Abstracts.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so jumping into Abstracts, what is the company on a high level? Can you give us kind of an overview of the company?
Yeah, I would say to best characterize this, we would be the premier cannabis flavor house. We're focused on designing the experiences of all cannabis products. And to make that happen, we're just focused on the science of cannabis and cannabis terpenes. You know, that is the gateway to the cannabis experience in our minds. Yeah, we have multiple facilities to actually research the cannabis experience. You know, we partner with grow partners. We have our own extraction facility here in Long Beach. We do R&D here, like analytical R&D. And then we also have a separate research building and a manufacturing building as well.
Awesome. Okay. Pardon me if I start geeking out too much, but I've always been very fascinated by terpenes. So Kevin, can you give us, for our listeners that maybe aren't familiar, maybe need a refresher on terpenes, can you kind of tell us what terpenes are and why they're important, why this segment has evolved so quickly over the last couple of years?
Yeah. Terpenes, I guess on the most basic level, they're like a class of organic compounds, and that's how you describe it in chemistry. But in our industry, we've we'll just like use this as a word to describe all the aroma and the flavor of cannabis. And that's what this word has evolved into in our industry. You know, there's a lot of things in there besides terpene that give flavor and aroma, but that's what we call it in this industry. It's just all the flavor and aroma are terpenes. And, in the past, I would say like the 80s and 90s, like all the breeders were breeding for high THC content in cannabis. And then as the industry grew, they sought after like more unique characteristics. And there's all these flavors in cannabis, but all of those are very recent. Those didn't used to, exist really, or at least if they did exist, you wouldn't know about them because, they're just all over the place. And so, in the 2000s and on, they really bred for these really unique cannabis like sensory profiles, like where things smell like grapes or berries or creaminess, and like that's what we would all call like that's the terpene profile. That's what gives it that smell and taste. So that got even more popular, as soon as, the dawn of extracts and vapes really came to the scene during the medical market and going into the rec market. That's when we started seeing a whole lot of traction around terpenes and interest in terpenes.
Okay, very interesting. So, most of our listeners, they might have heard of terpenes multiple times at this point, but they're probably a little bit more familiar with cannabinoids. So, I feel like just speaking of THC, for instance, that is the component that kind of packs the punch and maybe dictates the amount of high. Terpenes, would that dictate more the type of high? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, one way we like to say it is, THC and CBD are like your gas pedals, and the terpenes are like your steering wheel. That's one analogy we use. I think another one is just understanding the entourage effect. You know, if you have a super high THC profile with no terpenes because, you know, it was super hot or it wasn't cured right, you know, it'll get you, you know, so high with all the THC. But if you get a lower THC flower with, you know, a lot more terpenes, that will definitely have a better effect than the previous, you know, sample. We would call that the entourage effect. And the entourage effect is, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than any of them individually combined. And so that's something that is super interesting to us. That's something that's, you know, really the key between cannabinoids and terpenes and how they interact in your body.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So terpenes, they don't only contribute to the experience, like the flavor and aroma, but they also contribute to the health side, like your energy levels, your focus, your calmness. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So that makes total sense. So jumping into abstracts, this company is really the pioneer when it comes to terpene sensorial experience. And, you know, just all the research and development you guys have done over at Abstracts is just really fascinating. Lots of big things that I want to jump into here. So first off, can you tell us what differentiates Abstracts testing from just your standard cannabis testing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I think it's not particularly fair to compare the two. I know the cannabis testing labs, you know, their business model is to be QC based on a state guideline. And so they have to have certain requirements for their instrumentation, but they have great instrumentation. Like, you know, the regs are very high, so they have to have very good instrumentation. And so they're searching for predetermined anywhere from 22 to 44 terpenes. And they can detect down to, you know, for terpenes case, parts per million. They don't need to go any lower than that. But for the sake of the argument, you know, pesticides and things like that, sometimes they're testing down to parts per billion. And they're going for strictly QC. When we're going and we're analyzing profiles, we are more on an exploratory mission, right? And so we're detecting down to parts per quadrillion. And for any math nerds out there, you know, parts per billion, 10 to the negative 9, quadrillion, 10 to the negative 15. You know, if we're getting to numbers that small, we need powers. And then we also detect, we can qualify and quantify any compound in there, and we can separate all of them. So in any given cannabis sample, we're not detecting for 22 or 44 terpenes. We're quite literally detecting 400 and more in each sample because that's how much are in there, and then we're able to qualify what they are and then quantify how much there is. All those little parts in there, they don't seem that important, but that a lot of the character of each strain is, you know, those small characteristics.
Right. Yeah. That's really fascinating. Just the precision you guys are offering cannabis is just mind blowing. So Kevin, you mentioned you're currently sitting outside Abstracts Type 7 licensed lab. Tell us a little bit about what you do there in terms of extracting and replicating, and what exactly makes a Type 7 licensed lab? What qualifies you as that kind of lab?
Yeah. Well, when the regulation went through California and they started allowing cannabis, you had to go through this new licensing process, whereas before it was a lot different. And so Long Beach was the only place that offered open enrollment. So we filed for open enrollment, and the regulations in Long Beach are extremely high compared to other jurisdictions. So we figured if we could make it here, we could make it anywhere. And it took us a while to get this building up and running, but we finally did it. And now this building that we constructed, it was meant to be a very versatile, you know, Type 7 lab where we are extracting cannabis, making cannabis products, but also like honing in on the methodology and also honing in on the different flavors and aromas and how to be like the all-encompassing research facility. So it's like, you know, we want to understand everything about cannabis. We have to touch it however we want, and, you know, go get all the rec weed in the California, which is the best place for it, and see what it's all about. You can't really do that with a testing lab license or any other type of license. You need to have the versatility of using whatever you want, any solvent, for instance. And so we construct this lab, we put all of our analytical instrumentation in it, and we're doing hydrocarbon extraction day in, day out. We're doing analytics on extracts, flowers, inputs, everything. And, you know, this is where all, a lot of our, any papers we're writing about cannabis are usually coming out of the work we're doing here. And, you know, we also like to leverage the work we're doing here and see if we can help out universities that, you know, can't otherwise touch cannabis and try to do collaborative studies that way as well.
Okay. Very, very cool. So Kevin, we actually had Max Montrose on the show a few weeks ago. We've had him on multiple times, but very recently you did the man versus machine experiment. Can you tell us a little bit about that and your partnership with Max?
Yeah, that was a really fun, like, whole project that we did together. Max Montrose, I mean, guy's a legend for everyone that knows him, but he's developing the terpening, right? Which is almost like the new, like, canisteer program for any cannabis enthusiast, right? Who's getting to know cannabis. And I think different to one, I think cannabis, personally speaking, has a lot more dimensions and a lot more variability and a lot different profiles. And so, I mean, that it can produce genetically as well as, like, you know, from soils and everything else that you can use with it. But, you know, Max Montrose developed this program where he can more or less predict how a flower is going to make you feel depending on how you, like, you know, do a sensory analysis of it, right? Smell it, see how it makes you feel in your face or, you know, in your olfactory. And there's a specific way he does that and he teaches that. You know, we wanted to put it to the test, right? We have this very sophisticated, you know, analytical technology. We built an algorithm based on peer-reviewed journals giving weighted scores to what individual terpenes would have an effect on someone, right? And every time we do an analysis, we put it through this program, we call it Terpolytics, and it spits out, you know, the highest likelihood of how this is going to make you feel. And Max Montrose is doing something very similar. Had him fly out. We gathered 8 different samples. We did our terpolytics on it to see, you know, what the scores would be, how it would make you feel, like, what the terpene profile and everything. And then we had Max in a room with a bunch of people just go through and smell each one and try to give us the same data. And to his credit, he got 7 out of 8 right, which was pretty actually astonishing for any scientist sitting in the room being like, holy shit. And the only one he didn't get right was one. I wouldn't even say he didn't get it right. It's just that he didn't really give an analysis on it because he said, you know, I've never seen this before. So this is like a totally new type of flower. And so it was nice to, you know, surprise him with that as well as, you know, potentially validate 2 different methods as well. It was a really great project. And, you know, since then our relationship's only grown.
That's great, man. What a guy. I mean, the fact that he could pinpoint that many, that's crazy. Any of our listeners that are really interested in terpenes, definitely go check out that interview with Max that we had a few weeks ago. Cause he's definitely the terpene king. I think that's probably a good name for him, but that's amazing. So, you know, tell us about the different ways your research is taking cannabis to new heights. And you guys are across the board on all the different sectors you touch. So consumer education, product development, medical research, just so many things that you guys really have a hand in. So tell us a little bit about that and where you would hope to see abstracts really taking cannabis over the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, at any given time, we have at least like 20 R&D projects that are like in process. And so it's a lot of R&D projects. It's the most that I know about in the industry. I don't know what everyone else is doing, but, you know, we have, I think something that we do that's a bit different than everyone else is that we're trying to, you know, lift up and bring as much collective knowledge to the industry as we can as a company. And a lot of the way that we do that is just collaborating with universities. You know, there's a lot of really great universities out there. We have the best, like one of the best in the world here in the US. And a lot of them are very eager to study cannabis. And they're trying to figure out how to do that most effectively. Where can they make impacts? Because, you know, this is a plant that's had like a research prohibition on it, which is extremely rare. And now we're almost allowed to touch it. So there still is laws around it being Schedule 1. Once it gets to Schedule 2, then universities will be a bit more free to experiment with it. We have several different collaborations going on. Like at UMN, we're doing a genetics research project to see what type of terpene trait or terpene isolate like genetic traits are heritable or not. That's one thing we've going at Western Washington University. Like I was saying earlier, like the entourage effect is extremely important to not only the cannabis plant, the cannabis community as well, and to the people that all the cannabis enthusiasts. We're trying to work on measuring entourage effect over there, and we've had some good results so far. At UC Riverside, we're studying, how vaping, smoking cannabis can affect, lung tissue and things like that. And so these are all like very controlled studies, all R&D, takes a long time. And so it's good to plant these seeds now and see where they grow.
That's great.
Not only that, but it gets these universities engaged too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, cannabis, there are just so many, just question marks. I feel like with particularly, like you said, to measure the entourage effect, if that's just around the corner, thanks to you guys, that's going to be massive. So lots of great things ahead. And, the research and development side of Abstracts is really just one component at this point. You guys also, you have wholesale products, you've got your own in-house products. Tell us a little bit about that. And maybe we'll start with your own in-house products. I know you guys just recently came out with a new Cloudburst series. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, when we originally started, we were recreating a lot of our favorite cannabis profiles, which were in high demand at that point in the industry. And then we ventured off to making cannabis profiles that were accentuating the traits that we and our customers really loved about certain products, right? Like the Jackiness and Jack, we want to accentuate that, bring that character out. And I feel like we've been progressing so far that now we're at the Cloudburst series, and the Cloudburst series is, our same spirit, right? We're building a flavor on top of a terpene backbone, but now it's just all forward flavors. And so we've kind of wrapped back around to almost a traditional flavor house, but all of our flavors are all built on top of a terpene backbone that will have the entourage effect when it's used with cannabinoids. I think we're really excited about that. We've gotten a lot of really great feedback, not only from cannabis consumers and manufacturers and, big brands like that, but also just from like the beverage industry or the alcohol industry, like people that want to take inspiration from cannabis and apply it to, just your average consumer packaged goods.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. So what would you say have been the biggest requests and what trends have you been seeing among your clients?
Yeah. So there's probably a couple different trends there that you're talking about. Locally, there's different local communities like different flavors. And so I think a good embodiment of this is like when you go to the movie theaters and you see the icing machine, in every like community and zip code, they're usually different just because those are the best flavors for that community. So like if you go to Hawaii, it's like Pog. And then if you go to California, it's Cherry. And then if you go to like Michigan, they have like Grape or something like that. And so people in different, we service like 32 countries in all 50 states, and everyone has a very different like palate for certain things, like, grapes in Michigan are different than grapes in California. But not only like a different palate for things, but a different preference for the flavors that they want. And then once they figure out the type of flavors and the type of experience that they want, and it comes down to the product application. So we have a lot of people making edibles, making gummies, making beverages, pre-rolls. People are using these for vapes. There's a large variety of uses that they use these for. Now we're making sensory kits. We're also making analytical standards. Our product portfolio is growing at least every week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I'm curious, you guys, you're really leading the charge when it comes to the terpenes market. Where do you see the market heading over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I try to think of the terpene market as like a piece of the flavor and fragrance industry. And we're still kind of separated in the cannabis industry while it's not federally legal. But, if you're looking in the flavor and fragrance industry, the terpene category is definitely growing than all the other parts in that industry. And that industry is growing as well. So, I'm projecting growth.
Yeah, absolutely. With abstracts, I know a few things are under wraps, but what do you guys have on tap for the next couple of years? Any big projects coming up listeners should know about?
I mean, we have new stuff coming out all the time. So like one thing we just released this month is a new mood enhancement terpene formulations, and like to make those, we have the Terpolytics program, which is doing all the peer reviewed journals, but then we wanted to take it a step further. So we went to a few dispensaries. We had the flowers that they were selling to their customers. We had the customers fill out surveys based on the product that they're getting, knowing that we have the terpene profiles for the products that they're getting. And then we collected a ton of data, like something like a million data points or something like that. And we had to write this code, which ended up being like a artificial intelligence code to try and predict the surveys from the terpenes that the consumers were experiencing and what isolates would predict what like mood state these consumers were having. And this code gave us these theoretical formulations. And so we went ahead and made those formulations. We had some flavorist input, of course. We don't want to make bad flavors that no one wants to try. So we had adjusted them with our flavorists. And then we went ahead and we wanted to confirm those results or, go back to the drawing board. And so we held like a more organized sensory panel with random participants with Dr. Avery Gilbert, who's actually like this top tier flavor and fragrance guy. He's like in charge of all these sensory panels and everything. So the guy knows how to do it. And so we had this organized sensory panel. And what happened was that we essentially confirmed that these theoretical formulations we made actually imparted these mood states that these consumers and these participants had. And so now we have that as like a subtle formulation to put under something like a Cloudburst series so that we can target mood states as well as flavor profiles. I think that's, mainly what our customers are coming for. We have a ton of stuff coming out all the time.
Yeah, that's maybe too broad of a question because you've really got just so many projects and lots of big things ahead. Really excited to see what you guys do. But Kevin, before we wrap up here, I love to end the show with a few non-cannabis related questions. Just to give the listeners kind of a feel for you and the man behind the curtain. So first off, Kevin, are there any books that have had a big impact on your life or way of thinking you could share with us?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. My dad gave me a book recently called Principles by Ray Dalio. He's like the world's largest hedge fund manager, I believe. He wrote a pretty good book about pretty much, any instance in life pretty much can have a protocol for it to, for smooth sailing essentially. So I'd recommend that book.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah. That sounds really interesting.
I'm reading through that right now. So that's kind of the top of my head.
Cool. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. That sounds really fascinating. All right. So next question. I never want to ask what's your favorite band. That's such an impossible question to answer, but What is your favorite music at the moment, or maybe your favorite band that you're going to a lot lately?
Yeah, I was jamming to Mick Jenkins before we started this call.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm not familiar with them. Is it what kind of music genre is that?
It's rap. You should definitely look it up. He's definitely a cannabis enthusiast.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll have to look him up. Awesome. So, wrapping up here, Kevin, you know, you really have your finger on the pulse with the terpene side of the cannabis industry. But what would you say is one thing going on in the industry right now that might have a big impact over the next few years, but you think it's kind of like flying under the radar right now?
I think we all got our eyes on federal legalization and how that's going to pan out, or, you know, what steps that's going to take to happen, and, you know, who's going to prepare and how. Well, we're all going to prepare if we like to or not, but it's like, how are we preparing? So I think that's the biggest thing that I'm looking at every company in the industry with, is like, how are they preparing for federal legalization? And how are they going to get affected by that, right? So it's like, hopefully it's not going to be like a shakedown, but, you know, we want to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's, as you said, a good rule of thumb for the industry at large. So that's a good little piece of advice there too for our listeners. So thank you for that, Kevin. And Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been such a fascinating interview, and just really looking forward to seeing what you guys do over the next few years. So thanks again, and best of luck to you and Abstracts.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and, you know, letting me come on.
If you enjoyed the show today, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever app you might be using to listen to the show. Every 5-star review helps us to bring the best guest to you. Learn more at cannainsider.com/iTunes. What are the 5 disruptive trends that will impact the cannabis industry in the next 5 years? Find out with your free report at cannainsider.com/trends. Have a suggestion for an awesome guest on Canna Insider? Simply send us an email at feedback@cannainsider.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Canna Insider or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments. Promotional consideration may be provided by select guests, advertisers, or companies featured in Canna Insider. Lastly, the host or guests on Canna Insider may or may not invest in the companies or entrepreneurs profiled on the show. Please consult your licensed financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Final disclosure to see if you're still paying attention. This little whistle jingle you're listening to will get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and look for another Canna Insider episode soon. Take care. Bye-bye.